Thank you. You're such a nice man. Whew. Oh, yeah, okay, sorry. Sometimes I forget to write notes down. I'm like, I came up here for something. That's what it was. Okay, so as you heard, Freedom is going to be dissolving, and so one of the things that God had actually kind of laid on my heart before they mentioned anything was that that we were going to do youth group differently. And if you don't know, we actually, Freedom and us, had one youth group. And so back October, September, somewhere around there, maybe even sooner, we had really felt like, my wife and I felt like that we were supposed to start just kind of more nourishing the fifth graders and that age in Cornerstone. And so we were already ready to do it. And I guess that's how the Holy Spirit works, is we are going to start a new youth group this Wednesday at 6:30. Same time, different management, or however you want to say that. So it'll look a little different, but we're excited. So if you know anyone from fifth grade to 12th grade, invite them and let them know that 6:30 on Wednesday nights is going to be a lot of fun. We just have been really desiring more community with the students. Sometimes the way that we have the way we've had youth groups set up in the past, I'd be teaching the worship team this and, you know, running around doing that, and then we'd be watching kids walk around and sometimes never even be spoken to for like a half hour, 45 minutes. And so that was breaking my heart a little bit. And so we were like, we're going to start over and start fresh and just ask three simple questions every week. How are you? What's God speaking to you? Or what are you working through? And how can we help you? And how can we pray with you? And so that's going to be the format of youth group on Wednesdays. So it's going to be exciting. We're excited. You're excited. Everybody's excited. All right. Well, today's going to be a little different, so don't sit down. Wait, okay. We're going to do something a little bit different, and I beg your apology, or your pardon, or how I beg my own apology to pardon you for me. Yes, read my notes. I only have two pages. It's not going to take. No, so, you know, one of the things that my wife and I have been kind of on a journey on is when you walk into a church, sometimes it feels a little bit more like a movie theater than it does a community. Would you agree? Sometimes you sit down and you're like, don't bother me, I'm watching the movie. You know. And so at times, it's very difficult to have real conversation. And growing up in the church, there's been times where I have walked in, watched, and walked out, and haven't had any real community. But then someone says, why weren't you in church? Why weren't, you know, maybe I miss a Sunday. They say, why weren't you at church on Sunday? And I'm thinking, well, I don't know. I came and watched the party, and then I left, and then we didn't have any real conversation very often. And I'm not saying that that is invalid, because it's important for corporate worship and to spend time in the house of God seeking the Lord together. I might blow your minds and say that that also can happen at your own house, in prayer time and in worship in the car or other things as well. And so one of the reasons we come together is for the sake of community and for fellowship. And so I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 23. I was telling someone last night, sometimes reading Psalm 23 to Christians is like telling someone that ice cream and cake goes to a birthday party. They're like, yeah, why are we doing this? But I was talking to God a little while ago, and I felt like he wanted me to read this, and so I read it, and I was like, never saw that before, never saw that before, never saw that before. And I was like, that's a lot of things that I haven't seen, and maybe since I've been a Christian since I was four, maybe you might see some things that are awesome too. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. So a few years ago, my parents, I should say, I don't even know, it was probably 12, 13 years ago, my parents gave each of the kids something called the Pineapple Story. It's a series of stories from a missionary named Otto Koenig, and he was a missionary to the headhunters and all sorts of cannibals in, where is it? New Guinea, thank you. I was going to say New Zealand, but that would be not right. just help me get oriented here for a sec. Sorry, that was a joke, but it didn't go over good. You don't have to listen to it. So in the pineapple story, it's a hilarious story, and I really encourage you to go on wherever it's sold, probably Amazon. It's a great thing of this guy's whole probably 30-year journey of being a missionary. And one of the things he shares is this ridiculous story called the pineapple story, where he moves into this shack in this crazy country with not very much of anything, and somehow he starts growing these pineapples. Well, the pineapples would get stolen all the time by this village. And so he's super stingy because that's just who he was. And so he'd get upset and he'd put a wire and he'd put this and he'd put that around it and try and protect these pineapples. Well, one day God was like, why don't you give me the pineapples? And he's like, I don't want to give you the pineapples. I want the pineapples. I'm stingy. And so long story short, he says, fine, I'll give you the pineapples. So he doesn't just give God the pineapples. He surrenders all of his possessions to God. And so the village comes and says, hey, what did you do to those pineapples? And the pineapples started growing really well. He still took care of the garden, but he surrendered the garden to God. And so it was like sometimes he would get some, you know, if somebody wanted some, he would give it to him, but they were still getting stolen. And so one day the village came and they were like, hey, what's the deal? What'd you do to these pineapples? And he was like, oh, I gave them away. And they're like, well, who did you give them to? He's like, I'm not going to tell you. Why? Why do you care? And they're like, because our people are getting sick. There's like infertility. There's all sorts of crazy stuff going on. Who did you give those pineapples to? And long story short, he's like, well, if you all come tomorrow, I'll tell you all at once who I gave the pineapples to. So they all come and he tells them that he gave them to God. And they're like, you got to take them back. You got to get them right back. And he goes, how about this? How about you apologize for taking God's pineapples and then come and ask anytime and you can have as many as you want. So all of a sudden what happened was it became a community garden and everyone was able to grab pineapples and they would even like work on it together because they were using it for the Lord instead of Otto using it for himself and getting like a little stingy looking pineapples all the time. True story. So it was pretty cool. And so recently we sold a house, the house that we lived in, and we're trying to move to Sparks. And so then, you know, we get an escrow for this house and everything's going good and stuff. And I think I don't really like to change. And so I kind of felt myself walking behind myself like, hey, please slow down. Please slow down. You know, and so I'm like getting cranky and angry and anxious and fearful and stressed out and doubting the Lord and everything like that. And like I'm laying in bed one night and I just asked the Lord, what is the deal? And he reminded me of the pineapple stories. And then he reminded me of Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. And so I was like, whoops, sorry, Lord. I must have relinquished my possessions and taken them back, or however you say that. And so I started dealing with all these like mental things. And so when I surrendered it all to God, who had it in the first place, I just had to get around mentally that it was still his. I was like, God, all my stuff is yours. This house thing is yours. My funny car is yours. Like everything is yours. And I was just like, oh, I can sleep. And I just, it was good. It was perfect. And so I started looking at this verse in different versions. So like the Amplified version says, the Lord is my shepherd to feed, to guide, and to shield me. The Message says, the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need a thing. NLT, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need, which we already read. NIRV, he gives me everything I need. You get the idea, right? So a couple years ago, I was listening to a pastor in New York named Carl Lentz, and he said something very interesting. He said, sheep don't strive. Does that make sense? Sheep don't strive. They just have a dumb look on their face, and they're told where to go. And they, I mean, it's crazy. So I started thinking about, you know, sheep don't apply for the position of a sheep. They're just sheep. They don't bring their resume to the shepherd and say, oh, you'll notice my reference from Bo Peep, you know. I also played in a role in a live nativity. We toured the U.S., and I was first chair in the sheep choir. You know, like, no, or I think, I don't know, first shear in the sheep. I don't know. David wrote the 23rd Psalm because he had been a shepherd and realized there are a lot of similarities between God and us and sheep and shepherds. So we're really indebted to David for helping us see this, because through it we better understand God's character as well as our identity as children of God. So sheep are helpless without guidance. They have no pockets for money. They have no refrigerators to store leftovers or planning ahead. Dependency on the shepherd is vital, right? But unnoticed and taken for granted by the sheep at the same time. So I was just thinking about this whole thing, and I wonder if there are times where the sheep go a little bit hungry, and they wonder why the shepherd doesn't let them go into certain fields, or if there was enough trust built up between sheep and shepherd to remove the scream of appetite and replace it with trust in the shepherd, that what the sheep want is secondary to their needs. So what the sheep want is secondary to their needs. After following the good shepherd, there is certainly trust that forms and creates an expectancy that our shepherd has what we need. Will it be food? Will it be a place to sleep? Will it be safe pastures? We don't know, but we know he's a good father, and we can certainly trust him to supply our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So, verse 2, he lets me rest in green meadows, and he leads me beside peaceful streams. That makes a lot more sense, right? Like, as we get perspective of sheep, really, and we're all sheep because Jesus is our shepherd, right? That's the whole idea here, that sheep really, it's funny because it's not a perfect analogy, because we have to make the choice, and he gives us free will, right? Sheep are, they get to make a choice too, but they're born sheep, and that's how they are. We have a choice to make a decision to follow our shepherd, and we have to practice knowing his voice, and we have to build that trust with him over time. But so does a baby sheep, and because we've been born again, it's very similar in that way. Please forgive me, I'm an external processor. So, he also renews our strength. So here's the question to all of us today. We're going to take a second. I want to give you a few minutes to maybe write down in your phone or just think about what it is that you need to trust God with. What is it? What are some things that you need to trust God for? Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's not understanding the passing of a loved one. Maybe it's spending, you know, trusting God that he'll show up when we spend time with him. Maybe it's, I don't know why that happened, Lord, but I know that you have a plan. This is not an easy thing. This is not fun, but I imagine being hungry and not understanding that there are predators in a field is very difficult for a sheep to understand if he can't see what the shepherd can see. Lynn Taylor was sharing on Thursday night. She said, we were reading in the fasting thing. Some of you might have seen it. I think, what day was it? Like day 8 or something? Day 8? Where the guy says, what is it that God could have delivered you out of, but is, I'm probably butchering it terribly, but is allowing you to walk through so that you can grow? And that's not a very fun thought either. But, so I teach drums. I teach young people how to play drums. And something I have to tell them constantly is, if it's easy, you're not learning. I have to tell them that. Because they're like, but I like this, it's easy. Well, then you're not learning. Do you want to just stay where you are, or you want to continue to go? Do you want to continue to grow because it's going to hurt your arms? It's going to hurt your brain? You know, for some, yeah, it's, and so it's the same thing with our walk with the Lord. Sometimes we're not learning if it's easy. It's not fun. And I'm not saying that you should stay in certain situations. Some of us know the situation, know that God wants us to get out of a situation, and we should do that. But most of the time, God is allowing us to be somewhere so that we can grow and learn. So, do you mind coming up and playing the piano for like 2 minutes or so? And just, you know, we're going to just take a second and we're going to kind of think, some of you already know, but some of you maybe haven't thought about it for a while. What is it that I need to trust God with? It could be hundreds of things. It could be one big thing that you've been thinking about for a long time and you know already that you need to trust God with it. But so let's take that time, and then we are going to turn to each other, like groups of three or five. And I would say this. I would recommend folks that you know and folks that you trust. If they don't fall into that category and you feel really, really uncomfortable with the whole thing, you don't have to participate. You can just talk to God and let him know that you're surrendering whatever it is, or tell him that I don't want to surrender it, but I want some help to want to, you know, wherever you're at with that. But I would say this, that God has called us to be a family for a reason. And even if this is your first time here today, that is all right. We don't want to like freak you out, but this is really what it means to be a Christian. It means that we stand beside each other. We listen to each other and we pray for each other. So we're going to do that. And then I'm going to give you a couple more instructions and then we'll break into groups. So Father, we just ask right now that as we are quiet and listen, that you'd bring to our mind what it is that the actual issue is, Lord. Maybe there's some things that are frustrating, but there's a deeper issue of trust that we need to get to. So would you just, as we're quiet, would you please just speak to us right now, Father, in Jesus' name. So before we break into our groups, here's kind of some rules so that everybody feels safe. One is, if it's something super vulnerable, you can share it as vague as you need to. But I would say that even if you can't share it in your small group, you know, that you probably should ask someone for prayer in your small group. I'll give you an out. You can say, I just need to be able to trust God through a tough situation. Or, you know what I mean? You don't have to be like, so what had happened was, and like go through like a huge thing. And that's part of it actually is, you know, this isn't a time to give each other advice. This is a time to pray for each other. It's not a time to share a half-hour story. Maybe keep it to, I hurt here, or I need to trust God for finances. Very simple. If everybody gives a backstory, we probably won't be able to, we'll get some pizza or something. Just kidding. But it might take a while. So you know, maybe I just need to trust God with physical healing. My ACL is torn, like something like that, and just ask for prayer. Or maybe it's even, I need to trust God that he had a plan back there when things were tough, and they're still tough, something like that. So even, you know, even something like, I need to trust God that when I share the gospel, that his word doesn't come back void, you know, just all of those things. So we'll take, you know, I'm not necessarily going to put a time limit on it. I would say probably 10 minutes and try and go 3 to 5 people. But if you only trust one person in the room, go for it and just hang out with one person in the room. If you don't trust anybody in the room, that's all right. Just pray and talk to God, because we're working on trust with God. So maybe that's a good place to start. But I do encourage you. The idea is to stand with brothers and sisters and say, I don't want to do this alone. I'm having a hard time trusting, and I know God has a plan. Is that fair? And so go ahead and stand up, and we will all start finding... Oh, go ahead and all stand up. And we'll all start finding our A group.